Our study tonight is in Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, God's illustrative restrictions on his messenger. In order to illustrate the depth of the sin of Judah's people and their resulting future great judgment from God, the Lord directed his prophet Jeremiah to live under very difficult, painful, unnatural restrictions. God may similarly cause his messengers today to face difficult, painful, unnatural restrictions so that their hearers may learn from it. And we view Jeremiah's experience in this regard for our insight and edification. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Jeremiah chapter 16, 1 through 13. And the word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. For thus saith the Lord, concerning the sons, and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land, they shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as refuse upon the face of the earth. And they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their bodies shall be food for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. For thus saith the Lord, Enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning, to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and to drink. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, Wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great calamity against us? Or what is our iniquity, or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, Because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore I will hurl you, literally, out of this land, into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there you shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you any favor. Okay. The Lord placed Jeremiah under several severely difficult, emotionally painful, and unnatural restrictions that acted as illustrations to Judah that were intended to awaken them to their great need to repent. It's a strange thing that God would sometimes do, but sometimes he called his godly prophets to face intense suffering, intense discomfort, only as an illustration to other people. It's amazing. First, God had Jeremiah not marry and have children to illustrate God's coming judgment. Normally, getting married and having children was an experience cherished by all Israelites. In fact, in the ancient Near East to this day, the dream of every woman is to get married and have children. The dream of every man is to get married and have children, have a large family. That's just endemic. That's part of being an adult. And that was the way it was true in Jeremiah's day. But God had Jeremiah unnaturally not marry and have children. This harsh restriction would illustrate how many spouses and their children would die of disease, the sword and the famine, their bodies not being buried, but being food for birds and other animals. Actually, in a unique way, this actually was a blessing in disguise for Jeremiah, because if he had married and had children and so forth, and let's say his wife was an unbeliever and his children were unbelievers, then he would have had the trauma of facing this experience with his family. So the Lord actually mercifully kept him from that. by not having to marry. That may be where the Apostle Paul gets the idea. And remember in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, for the virgins, I would rather that they not marry because it will be easier on them in view of the persecution. He implied the persecution that was coming. And this may be where he's getting the idea. Also, God had Jeremiah not enter a house where a funeral meal was being eaten, nor mourn, nor show sympathy to the grieving survivors of the deceased to illustrate God's coming judgment. Jeremiah was not to express the normal emotion of grief or to offer comfort when someone he knew had died. A very hard, unnatural restriction in view of Jeremiah's ties with such people that he knew. Can you imagine what it'd be like if maybe a cousin of yours had passed away, and the shock that it would be not to grieve, not to go to the wake, not to go to the funeral? That would be very difficult, because what people naturally want to do is they get together when they're grieving and they bear one another's grief and burdens. And Jeremiah wasn't allowed to do that. And that's very hard. Well, God explained that the Lord had removed his peace from the people along with his loyal love and mercy, that both great and small would die in the land and not even be buried or lamented. Cutting oneself was a sign of grief, though cutting was forbidden as a pagan practice under the law in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1. And shaving one's head signified the loss of one's glory. So avoiding these practices would keep Jeremiah from expressing grief at a funeral. Then God had Jeremiah not enter a house of feasting. This would be like a wedding reception or something like that. He was not supposed to enter a house of feasting to illustrate God's coming judgment. Jeremiah was not to enter a house of feasting to fellowship with its participants. It's interesting. I've been to a number of weddings and wedding receptions, and it's always important to, if you can, if you're invited, that is, to get to the reception and to see the people celebrate the joy of this couple that has come together. I mean, it's a wonderful time. Or to be at somebody's 50th anniversary or something like that. These are things where normally people, obviously, you go. But he wasn't allowed to do that. God's reason for this very unnatural restriction for his messenger was to illustrate how Judah, under God's judgment, would no longer hear the voice of joy and gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride in a wedding feast or celebration. It's interesting. Revelation chapter 18, verse 23 describes the sorrow of the fall of the Babylon the Great in terms of the absence of the voice of the bride and the bridegroom. I really believe it comes from this passage in Jeremiah. There's going to be no more joy in the fall of Babylon the Great. It's going to be all sorrow. Well, when Judah's people wanted to know what these restrictions placed upon him meant, Jeremiah was to tell them of their need to repent, lest they face God's severe judgments illustrated by these restrictions. When the people of Judah would be told all these words, coupled with Jeremiah's very harsh, unnatural restrictions, and would ask what they had done to deserve such profound judgment, Jeremiah was to reply that their fathers had forsaken the Lord to follow false gods, and that they had done like their fathers in departing from God, even to a greater degree of apostasy in serving foreign gods. Idolatry is something that is especially repugnant to God. He is very jealous of his people's love and devotion to him. And when they replace that with a love or devotion to something else, it absolutely infuriates the Lord. So God declared that he would hurl them out of the land into a foreign land that neither they nor their fathers had known. They would feel out like outcasts there. And there they would serve false gods day and night, with the Lord no longer showing them favor. And this is often what God does in judgment. Oh, you're going to worship gods, all right, I'll give you your fill. You go out there and you're going to be forced to have to be facing these gods day and night until they just get sick of it. Well, in other words, God would give them a full dose of idol worship minus his blessing to teach Judah the lesson of the futility of worshiping false gods. Sometimes the only way we can see that a crutch that we're using in place of the Lord is something that is false and something that is useless is for us to be exposed to nothing but that crutch, and after a while we realize it doesn't really meet the needs of the heart. There's nothing that meets the needs of the heart like God. I think it was Augustine who said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and man is aimless until he finds his rest in thee." Man is restless until he finds his rest in thee. It's very true. There's a niche in us that only God can fill. And until we relate properly to the Lord, that niche is empty. So the Lord harshly restricted Jeremiah from the normal practices of getting married and having a family, from entering a house of mourning to express sympathy or to mourn, and from entering a house of feasting to express joy, to illustrate how God's judgment would bring great tragedies in the lives of Judah's people due to their idolatries. Well, application. If we see God's servant suffering severe restrictions in his or her way of some manner, may we realize that God may be trying to communicate a severe warning to us that we might adjust in line with his will. In particular, we need to examine our lives to see if we have constructed something as a false god, an idol, that substitutes for the Lord himself. What God may be trying to reveal to us by the dreadful restrictions we see him level on his servant. If we are involved in discipling others and God lets us face harsh, unnatural restrictions, may we yield to those restrictions as a possible illustration from the Lord to get our hearers' attention. We have a commentary that Dallas Seminary puts out, and you'll notice that it's by Walvoord and Zuck. Dr. Walvoord was the president of the seminary. Roy Zuck had been a man who worked at Scripture Press, and he was a journalist, trained in journalism as well as a seminary prof. And he came to Dallas, and that's why he worked as an editor on that commentary with Dr. Walvoord. He was the one that finessed the language and so forth. Well, when I was at Dallas Seminary, the first year Dr. Zuck came there, I went into his class, and he was teaching out of the book of Job, all right? And we'd gotten to the point where Job was facing all this suffering. At that point, Dr. Zuck's daughter had an accident. Barb, I think, was her name. And she had fallen, I don't know, out of a second-story window or something, but she was severely injured. I think she ended up unconscious in the hospital. And then she came to, but she was, you know, really in a bad way. And here Dr. Zuck was in the midst of teaching us the book of Job. And this man was going through this suffering with his daughter. And he mentioned, you know, how Job, he heard that his children had died. They were celebrating one of the oldest son's, I think, birthday party. And they died. A whirlwind came and something. And he said, gentlemen, this affects me now because, as you know, I'm going through some of the trials that Job went through. And he says, so I have to apply this right now. And I remember as he was teaching us for the next several weeks, you could hear a pin drop in the classroom. It was profound, and it deeply affected us. And we realized as a class that God was allowing that man to go through that time in part for us. It was a learning tool for us. We realize life is serious. And you never know when you're going to lose something. Maybe someone in your family, and they're going to lose their health and so forth. And I remember it made a tremendous impact on us. And when we got out in the ministry, and of course we've faced trials since then. I mean, our daughter Connie has had multiple surgeries and whatnot, health things, but not nearly what Dr. Zuck went through. But it made a profound impression on us. And so if you see a teacher or a pastor that you know or a Christian leader suddenly go through deep waters, that's something that's not just for that person. That's for us so that we can learn from that and pay attention to it. God had Jeremiah go through a lot of pain here. This was not comfortable for this man. And he did it out of his compassion for the people of Judah. And they were supposed to learn from this, and apparently it did make an impression on them because the restrictions that this man was going through, they didn't go through that, so it got their attention. And so we need to pay attention to the sufferings that occur to other people. I think of this tragedy that occurred in Las Vegas. Wow. you know, we could have been in a large gathering, you know, something like that. And so it makes us think seriously about our lives and what are we doing with our lives. You know, we never know if tomorrow we're going to be with the Lord, if there's going to be a tragedy or something. So in view of that, it should cause us to ask, where are we? And adjust accordingly.